This episode is brought to you by the American Homebrewers Association, a hub for homebrewers since 1978. Visit homebrewersassociation.org for award-winning recipes, brewing tips, and community. homebrewersassociation.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, January 30th, 2020. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve Wilkes and I sample my experiment testing the effect of varying hop stand times on our hop sampler recipe. Will there be a difference between 0, 10, and 30 minutes? Stay tuned. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives or audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing, and thanks very much to everybody who's helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. And financial supporters will see an early release this Friday of our next Basic Brewing video episode. And this one, Steve of stevesbrewshop.com, by the way, brews up an experiment testing the effect of two different yeasts on a nice smoked pale ale recipe. He used a Belgian yeast and an English yeast from our friends at Imperial, by the way. Was I able to detect which was which? Tune into that and see as well. Let's jump into the mailbag, shall we? Tom from Burlington, Kentucky writes, "So I've been doing some all-grain, one-gallon batches to try some recipe creation. For a recent kettle sour, I soaked my recipe grains for 70 minutes, then boiled the wort for 25 minutes to kill off any bugs. Per my step process, I dropped the temp and pitched some lacto, some good belly. After reaching a desired pH of 3.33, I then moved to the brew day process of the 60-minute boil, adding hops at 60 minutes and 10 minutes, chilling and pitching the yeast." Tom says, "To my question on the last brew day process for this, did I even need to brew for the full 60 minutes, or could I have done a condensed 30-minute boil, dropping hops at 30 and 10? Why I ask is that I've watched a few of your speed brewing examples where you had a 30-minute or 45-minute brew day." Well, thanks, Tom. Sure, you could have done a shorter boil and been just fine. In fact, some of my kettle sour batches, I've just brought the wort up to pasteurization temperature. That's 180 degrees Fahrenheit or 82 C for half an hour and not boiled at all. Doing a hop stand at that point. However, if you want to be more complex with your hop schedule, you could boil for as long or as little as you like. You did an all-grain batch, but before souring, you boiled for 25 minutes. So a short boil after souring would be just fine. Listener Tom writes in, "I was thinking about getting an Instant Pot after another Tom." Or maybe it's the same one. Listener Tom writes in, "I was thinking about getting an Instant Pot after watching your video of the sour Instant Pot ale. I was thinking about doing a 5-gallon batch and was curious as to how I could use the 1-gallon Instant Pot batch with Good Belly as a starter. I don't normally use starters, and I generally just pitch dry yeast into my beers. How would I use that 1 gallon in a 5-gallon batch? Well, thanks, Tom." Whether you're the same Tom or not, I forgot to check the email. I think it's just as simple as brewing up the larger wort and pouring in the soured, small Instant Pot batch. Of course, not pasteurizing it before you pour it in there. You'd have to figure in the volume of the sour starter to your bigger recipe to fit into your fermenter. But adding that lacto starter, I think, would give you a head start on the souring process of the larger beer, just like pitching a yeast starter. You'd want to keep the larger fermenter in a warm place, of course, to keep the lacto happy after pitching that starter. And then after the larger batch soured, to your preference, you could pasteurize or boil that larger batch and then proceed as usual. Alternately, I guess you could pour in, proportionally larger amounts of lacto to sour that larger batch. But, you know, you could save some resources by doing a starter. I think that's the way to go. Makes sense to me anyway. If you have feedback on that process, please let me know, james@basicbrewing.com. I'm posting this on January 29th, so there's still a couple of days left to take advantage of the 20% off offer on beer and wine kits at our sponsors, highgravitybrew.com. Desiree and Dave are giving this big discount, 20%, to Basic Brewing Radio listeners. Just use the code BB20IN20JAN before the end of the month. That's BB20IN20JAN on highgravitybrew.com. And you get 20% off beer and wine kits. And if you miss it, if you're late to the party and you're listening in February, you can still visit highgravitybrew.com for an excellent selection of electric brewing controllers and systems. High Gravity takes the pain out of propane with electric brewing, especially in the colder months. You know, propane doesn't work so well when it's really cold outside, but you know what? Electric elements work just fine. And since they're inside the vessel, the wind doesn't blow them out or steal their heat. I've had days with my old propane setup when it was just too cold and windy to brew. I tried setting up little barriers around the burner and stuff. What a pain. Not anymore with my Warthog 10-gallon brew-in-a-bag system that I've got from High Gravity. I'm good to go. And I can hold the mash temperatures rock steady, even outside, you know, in the chilly temps. Along with their own Warthog systems and controllers, High Gravity has others, too. So head on over to highgravitybrew.com and check them all out. Family-owned and operated. And remember, until the end of January, you can get 20% off beer and wine kits by using the code BB20IN20JAN at highgravitybrew.com. Okay, my chats with Scott Janisch recently on hopping strategies for hazy IPAs had me wondering, what effect is the length of my hop stand having on our hop sampler recipe? You know, I use 30 minutes, but is 30 minutes too long? Would a shorter hop stand be better? Well, I asked Steve Wilkes to help me figure it out by sampling my experiment. Well, Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James.
We've been sick this year. So 2020, at least the end of 2019 and into 2020, we've been puny, as we say around here.
Yeah, I've still got the vapors.
Well, hope it's not consumption.
Well, I hope it's not consumption either.
But we haven't gotten together in a while, and it's because for Christmas, my wife and I got sick. And that's not the gift. It's the gift you can't return, but you want to.
Right, exactly.
And then you and your wife got sick after that, and you had it hanging on for a while.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I sure wish it would go on. I'm still funny.
Well, you look great. You look marvelous.
Well, I look great. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Let's hope that that you get to feeling better soon.
Well, I hope so.
Now, what I've got here, I had a conversation with Scott Janisch, the author of The New IPA, A Scientific Guide to Hop Aroma and Flavor. And he, we talked about adding hops on the hot side and adding hops on the cool side and dry hopping part of what he said was that it doesn't take long for the hop compounds to come out in a hot wort. So you know, there's at some point maybe there's a diminishing point of return. You know, on does it make any sense to do hop stands any longer? And so I decided to design an experiment. You know, we do this hop sampler.
Yep.
And I kind of arbitrarily picked 30 minutes as the hop stand time for no reason. Just, you know, I thought 30 minutes would be enough to extract the good stuff. So I thought, you know, is that necessary? Is, you know, what am I getting out of 30 minutes that I might just as well get, you know, out of just flame out or 10 minutes? So I designed this experiment.
I'm interested in this. I've tasted these beers, and I won't go into what I think about them at the moment. But it really does beg the question, you know, we think that we have to do certain things because we learn them that way. And one of the things that I find really interesting about, well, our journey as brewers, and then our journey with everybody else that's in the community, is that in some ways we've been unlearning a lot of things, mm-hmm. or relearning them, because we're finding out that what we were told or just that we got in our heads that had to be a certain way, we're finding out it doesn't. So this will be interesting today to play with a little bit and see what's going on.
Now, we've done similar experiments before. We've done a hop stand temperature test, mm-hmm. if you remember. Yep. We've done a hop addition time test where we, I think it was with the Casey Letellier, we sat out on the patio and tasted those beers,
yep.
where I added hops at 60 minutes, 30 minutes and flame out or something like that.
Yeah.
So we've kind of danced around this proposition. So I don't think we've done this before.
Well, not in this exact format, to be sure.
No. So the recipe is I took 3 quarts of water, filtered water, and I added to it 1 pound of light dry malt extract and dissolved that in. And just as it came up to the boil, I added the hops and then shut off the heat. Now, what I did was I just basically split 1 ounce of Cascade. So I've got 9 grams of Cascade added in each of these beers. In one of the beers, I brought the wort just up to the boil, shut off the heat, added 9 grams of Cascade, and then immediately chilled it, immediately put it into an ice bath, and then pitched 3 grams of USO5. So that's the flame out beer. So that's okay. There's no sitting in the, other than, you know, the time that it, and I think it takes about 12 minutes to cool down that amount of wort in an ice bath in my sink.
Okay.
So we have the flame out one. Then the next one, I let the wort or the hops sit in the hot wort for 10 minutes, then chilled and did the same procedure. The next one, I did the standard 30 minute. So we've got these 3 beers in front of us, and we're doing this blind. We put masking or duct tape over the caps. I had you randomize them. I wasn't looking. You numbered the beers and opened them and turned the caps upside down. So you know, just in case the duct tape was not identical in each one. You know, so we're trying to do this double blind here.
Right.
So we've got these 3 beers in front of us, labeled 1, 2, and 3, and they are, they just look like hop sampler beers.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of beer number one?
To me, of the 3, it's got the brightest, freshest hop character, although they're very close together, but it has a really light, kind of bright little hop pop that I quite like. You know, it's really bright and fresh tasting. Mm-hmm. I don't get any kind of dank or dark flavor from it at all. So I'm not ready to go out on a limb and say which one it is for sure, but based on that, I would almost be willing to say that that's the one that received the shortest time. But I don't know that I'm kind of not ready to make that vote yet. But it's just got such a nice, light, bright, almost candy-like.
Yeah, that's the adjective that I was about to say, is candy. It does taste like candy. All 3 of these beers are fairly balanced as far as bitterness and malt character. But this one has, it's not a candy sweetness.
No.
It's a candy flavor.
Yeah, it's just very refreshing. hop flavor. And I don't usually use the term refreshing when I think of hops. I don't know why, but I don't. But this is actually very refreshing, almost like a, I don't know, like a Sprite in a way.
Kind of.
It's just light and easy.
There's more mouthfeel in the than a Sprite, I think. But
well, yeah. No, I didn't mean it tasted like a Sprite. I meant the flavor was reminiscent of a Sprite. It's
kind of lemon lime.
A little lemon lime-y and just very very light and refreshing in the way that a Sprite. Plug in Sprite here. Don't mean to be, but I'm trying to find an analogy that everybody I think can kind of taste what a Sprite tastes like.
Right.
You know, or a 7-Up. It's just kind of that real light.
Yeah, I agree. It's very, now the question is, I mean, you know, it's very hop flavory, but we don't know, you know, maybe the Flame Out beer, you know, wasn't hot long enough to extract those.
Exactly.
So we don't know.
That's why I wasn't willing to say that that's what that beer is, because maybe the Flame Out beer exactly didn't have enough time to do anything.
Right.
And so maybe it's got the worst flavor in the way.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay, beer number two. I'll go first on beer number two. Let me take another taste here. It's also very, it tastes a lot like, you know.
Yeah.
Boy, I like Cascade. Cascade is just a super hop.
There's a reason why. There's a reason why you stock the most Cascade pellets.
Man, oh man. It also has a very strong hop flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, these have been, you know, I've been meaning to get together, you know, for a while to do this. But we, like I say, we've been sick.
Yeah,
so these
are while.
A while.
Why are you saying like that?
Will Wheaton.
There's hair in your beer.
At least that's a cultural reference from the past 10 years.
That's right.
Unlike, you know, usually we're citing things from, you know, like...
Hutz kebabs.
Like the Jack Benny show or something.
That's right. Oh, it's a sad day. Okay.
But even though these have been in the bottle, for, you know, a while, they still taste very fresh.
They do.
And good.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on number two?
I think it tastes a lot like number one.
Mm-hmm.
Except I still think number one has a little bit brighter, a little bit, dare I say it, sunnier disposition. It just, number one is like, it's like the morning dew. And mother has hung the sheets out to dry.
As I get older, I appreciate the morning dew more and more.
That's true. I particularly appreciate the morning movement.
Da, 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 da.
But if number one is the fresh morning dew, this is like 11 o'clock in the morning. The dew is starting to... The sun's coming up now.
It's but you're still optimistic.
But I'm still optimistic. The day hasn't crushed me yet. With taxes and work. And bills.
Under the thumb of the man.
That's right. I'm still fresh.
Do you ever feel not fresh?
Well, I wouldn't tell you.
There's some products for that. Okay, number three.
Okay.
I'm moving. Speaking of movement, I'm moving on to number three.
That's nice, too.
It's in the same family.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But
it actually has a longer finish.
Mm-hmm.
It actually, in some ways, tastes like the most finished beer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's better balanced to me.
Yeah.
It's not... kind of a, I don't want to say novelty beer, but you know
no,
what I'm saying.
I know exactly,
it's more like a regular beer,
mm-hmm.
a more traditional beer. The hop character is still there, and it's nice. The citrus components are nice, but it's not that candy kind of character.
It feels like it's more in balance with itself.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of bitter backbone to balance with the sweetness. But there's still some sweetness. And I'm talking about hop sweetness, not not sugar or mm-hmm. malt sweetness. I'm talking about the perceived sweetness from the hops. And it finishes long. I like the flavor of this quite well. It's a little bit more of a grown-up flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know. Now I'm. This is interesting. I think. I don't think we're deceiving ourselves here.
No, I don't think so. They're different, but they're not a lot different. You kind of have to pay attention. And if we were, you know, on a windy day in a car with no springs, we couldn't tell the difference. But but we're not. So.
But okay, I'm going back to taste number one. Yeah, I think by chance, I think we've lined these things up to where they are progressively less candy-ish.
I completely agree.
And that's completely by chance.
Yep. The beer tastes, all three beers are pleasant to drink. I wouldn't not drink any of these beers if you just handed me one. I like number three the best because it tastes the most finished. It has the most complex flavor profile. It has all the characteristics of number one, being that light, refreshing, candy-like sweetness, but it also has some depth of flavor mm-hmm. that number one doesn't have.
Yeah, the malt shines through.
Uh-huh.
The malt gets to be, even though it's a light, dry malt extract, there's still a, it's not like an all-grain beer.
Nope.
But there is a malty character in there. Yep. that comes through that is hidden by the other two beers.
And it's interesting because this is such a simple experiment, and we're a couple of simple guys.
You can say that again.
So, but it is a simple experiment, and yet there is a real difference in these three beers that is real. And so something as simple as just delaying or the length of time that the hops are in contact with that wort does make quite a difference. I'm really surprised how much difference it made in this little short experiment.
Yeah, I've been sampling these beers because when you make this this series, you have 3 6-packs.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've been sampling, but I haven't been sampling them side by side.
Right.
Which it's really important to do.
Yeah.
Because you really. They are similar, mm-hmm. so if you were to drink one after the other, you may not
right.
get these differences that we're getting.
No, exactly. And to be fair about it, too, if there were more variables, meaning you had a more complicated hop bill or grain bill or hop bill, and clearly a more complicated boil structure and all that. I mean, the right. beer would be completely different.
Right.
But it is really interesting to see how just a little bit of jinking or juking with a recipe can really make quite a difference in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's making beer, you can take the same ingredients, give them to 10 different brewers and get 11 different beers.
Exactly, yeah. Well, I have guys ask me at the store, you know, they'll say, well, how come this guy's beer tastes this way or my beer tastes such and such a way, I made it the same way? And really, you didn't, because your brew house, so let's pretend we're all big brewers, but your brew house at your house is going to be different than my brew house at my brew house. And we might technically follow the same recipe, but no, we haven't, because the temperature that it truly fermented at is going to be different. The length of time is going to be somewhat different. Even though we might think we're doing it exactly the same, if you don't have one of those $90 million brewing systems, it isn't.
Yeah.
And so, but that's part of the art and the fun of it.
Yeah. Are you using propane? Are you using electric? Are you using a big brew kettle? Are you using a tall brew kettle or a squat?
Yeah.
Or are you using an immersion chiller? Are you using counterflow? Are you using a plate? You know, all these things come together to, you know, one recipe can be different in everybody's house, but that's okay.
It's absolutely okay. In fact, that's a really fun thing to do as a club. Is to have everybody brew the exact same beer.
Yeah.
And then come together and drink them.
Yeah. And then try to be nice to each other.
and just cast sidelong glances.
collect those dues early.
Okay.
All right.
So
are we ready to...
Well, okay. Now, here's the thing. We both agree, I think, that one was the most hop flavory. Mm-hmm. Two was the next, and then three was the most balanced. In other words, the hop flavory character didn't shine through as much as the other two.
Right.
Now, the question is, I mean, assuming that we know what we're talking about, what's your theory? I mean, did the flame out, you know, did adding the hops right at flame out and then chilling right away, does that give you the, you know, does that like give the hop compounds less time to be volatilized and changed and isomerized and turned into bitterness? Or, you know, is letting the hops steep in that hot wort, that nearly boiling temperature wort, for 30 minutes, does that give you more hop flavor?
I don't know yet, but my guess is that the shortest exposure time is going to be the brightest. It's going to be number one. That's what I think. Mm. But right. I truly don't know. But I'm guessing that number one is going to be the shortest exposure time to heat. Number two will be the middle time to heat and length, and number three will be the longest time.
Well. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think I would agree with you at this point. But you know, let's see.
Okay.
Let's see what number one is.
Okay. Number one.
It could be we're just all.
It's number one.
Number one.
Okay. And then.
Which is number one. Yeah, right. Which is okay. The one that we thought was the most candy-ish or the most flavorful-ish.
And it's.
That's the flame out.
It's flame out.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. So
okay.
We're right there.
And number, well, yeah.
Number two.
Number two. But number two better be the 10. Oh, it's
two is
30.
Interesting.
Ah. And then number three would be the, make sure, let's check to make sure, is the 10. Huh.
Wow. Wow.
Huh.
So that kind of threw, there's no, it's not logical then to me.
No. Huh.
So we liked number, I like number 10 the best.
The 10 minute.
The 10 minute, yeah. I like the, yeah.
Huh.
Wow. So we were able to determine, the flame out one we guessed. The
right.
other two we didn't.
Right.
We flipped.
Wow. Huh. Well, that's really interesting. I mean, maybe they were all fermented in the same room, mm-hmm. the same types of fermenters. All the process was the same. So, huh. I mean, maybe we need to repeat this in the future again.
A 10-minute one just has a longer finish. I don't know how else to explain it. It just stays. The flavor of the beer stays in my mouth longer. It's a more satisfying flavor, and it's just a more satisfying beer. Number two has a nice flavor, but it's just not as present, and the malt doesn't shine through as well to me. But wow, I'm really surprised. Surprised.
Yeah. Now let me ask you the question for the purpose of the hop samplers.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are trying to accentuate the flavor of the hops, to pit them against their descriptors and against the, you know, each other, which one does the best job of that for you? I mean, well, let me just ask you.
No, I understand the question. That's a good question, too. For me, it's still number three. Because I feel like I'm getting a better representation of what the beer ought to taste like. Because number one, well, I feel like I'm getting a fresher, again, I hate to keep going back to my Sprite thing, but it's like it's this bright little pop of flavor. It seems a little one-dimensional. And I don't think that I'm getting everything that that hop has to offer. But here's the wrinkle, though, as far as actual brewing with it. That might not be such a bad thing. If what you want to, if what you're trying to do is if you're willing to pick up a really bright hop note in your beer, in your final beer, and you're willing to really pop that little fresh, bright note, so flame out, you know, pop it real quick and move on. Because it's okay to pull a portion of a flavor. You don't have to pull the whole characteristic of the, of that flavor out or whatever that hop might offer. So if you're able to understand that the flavor profile of that hop enough that you can literally learn when to slice off the exposure to heat and time, then you can learn to pull, you know, certain aspects of the flavor of that hop out. I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about, but really it makes some sense. It's like, okay, if I just hit this at flame out and I chill that wort down really quick, then I know that I'm going to get that really bright little pop instead of that longer finish and that kind of more complex flavor out of the hop. It makes some argument then for a quick cool down instead of like a no chill or slow chill cool down.
Well, definitely, yeah. Now, I have a theory.
Okay.
Which is not based.
Which is not based
on any science at all. So we got number one, which was, you know, juicy and hoppy and lots of hop character, which was the flame out. Turns out.
Yeah.
We got number two, which was. It was less of the flavor, the candy flavor, but it had it was hoppy, you know, it was hoppy to us. Number three was the 10-minute, and it was kind of like in between. So I wonder if, like, on the short one, on the flame out, you're getting some of those compounds that are very volatile and easily boiled away or easily denatured.
Yeah.
And then on the 30-minute one, you're getting more compounds that do take some time to volatile. They do take some time to change chemically so that you can taste them. And then the 10-minute one in the middle is kind of like the worst of both, because you're boiling, because you're getting rid of those fragile ones, but it's not long enough of a hot stand to get those that do come out with a longer one. Does that make, that's just me talking out of my nether regions, but
no, that makes sense. Except I would say that 180 degrees out, because for me, the number three, the 10-minute beer was my favorite. So I would argue that you got the best of both worlds, that you still retained a significant amount of those really volatile hop characters, those really volatile oils and flavors, but it was enough length of time that you began to pull a little bit more of those more complex but somewhat harder to get at characteristics, where the longer one you were driving off more of the volatile, really, really light, delicate flavors, and now you're left with just the harder ones to pull. I don't have the vocabulary for it. I know that other people do, but I don't. So for me, the 10-minute exposure beer was the one that I preferred of all three of them. It's the one I would want to drink that I would want to drink a full one of.
Again, it's more balanced.
It's just more balanced, and so that kind of makes sense to me again, because it's the one that's kind of in the middle.
Does number two, it's been boiled, or it's been steeping for 30 minutes, does it taste noticeably more bitter than the other two?
Nope, it doesn't. Not to me. It just didn't have quite the... It just didn't have that... You know, we're really splitting hairs on this, because they don't taste that far apart. But it just didn't have as pleasant a finish in the in the beer. And it doesn't taste particularly bitter at all. None of them do. There's a little slightly more bitterness to the beer, but not much. It's not bitter. It's certainly no honking IPA. Which, by the way,
Honk an IPA?
I just, yeah. We'll save this for another day, maybe. But what the heck makes an IPA anymore? Oh. I picked up a can of IPA from some guy the other day, some brewery that I don't know, and I don't remember the brewery. But I looked at it, I was just trying to read a little bit about what the beer is going to be. It's nine IBUs. I'm like,
nine?
And this is an IPA, nine IBUs.
Was it in German?
No.
Nine IPAs.
It would have been no
nine,
IBUs.
Nine IBUs.
But so my thought was, why? What makes an IPA an IPA? And I'm starting to think it's the marketing. Call it an IPA, they'll buy it.
Surely not.
I don't know. Well, it tasted like an IPA, but still.
Okay, so I've brewed the next hop sampler, and it's in the bottles, and we haven't tasted it yet. But it's with. Oh, you know what? Huh? This is wild. I just looked at this recipe. It's with Sterling Triumph and Horizon, and you know what I did? Mm-mm. I did a 10-minute hop stand.
Nice. Oh, cool. My favorite one.
So there. How crazy is that?
I love it.
That was. As the kids say, or as the kids used to say, random.
Random. Well, it's gnarly.
So the next hop sampler will be, instead of the 30-minute hop stand, it will be with the 10-minute.
Nice
hop stand. Wow, that's I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah,
it's a good thing I've got this Basic Brewing Brewer's Logbook.
That's right,
which is available at basicbrewingshop.com.
.com.
Wow. Steve Wilkes of stevesbrewshop.com.
.com.
This
has turned out to be, so when we sat down, you were like, oh, I think it's going to be a short show.
Yeah.
But it was very enlightening, I think, at least for me.
Yeah, and other than my talk about flat tires in the 40s, I think it's, I think there was useful information.
And that could have been.
If you go in a time machine, make sure you got a spare if you're going back to the 40s. And should you kill Hitler or not? That's the question.
That's right.
Man, well, this is... And the next hop sampler will be fun because then we will be testing the new...
The new 10-minute theory.
The new 10-minute theory.
Yeah. It sounds like a movie, a Scorsese movie.
The 10-minute theory.
The 10-minute theory.
I also changed some other things, but we'll talk about that next time.
Okay.
Wow. So draw, do your own experiments and draw your own conclusions. And this may be something that we want to repeat with another hop, another level of bitterness, or but the same timing, just to see what happens.
It'd be fun to try this with a different hop, actually.
Yeah.
All right.
Here you go. All right. Feel better soon, Steve.
Thanks, James.
Thanks for coming over.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks again to Steve of stevesbrewshop.com. Steve's feeling better now, you'll be happy to know. You'll have to tune in to our next hop sampler to see what effect that 10-minute hop stand had on the next batch. Until then, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, you write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.